Grady, why don't you introduce our guests, and they have the whole service and have questions and maybe mission trips and a lot of other things. So go ahead, Grady.
Well, we're pleased to have Dennis and Margie and Kendra with us. Here a few weeks ago, when we went out to Dennis and Margie's, and they were kind enough to show us the work they had done with an orphanage in Uganda. And so it really thrilled us, Margaret and I and a couple of other friends, and we were talking about it. And so they happened to agree with Dan to share with us today, so we're glad to have them. And then also, I've got another gentleman that I went all the way. Dennis missed 1 year of going all the way through school. But Norman, I met him in way back when we started in the first grade. And we went through school all together. And he's a retired pastor from over at Stillwater. He joined us today. So be sure to meet him. They're the finest people you could meet anywhere.
Dad, are they going to do inspiration?
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
Go.
There's just a dry
run. Our signal's fixed up. The mic is on, so if you want.
Okay. Probably won't be the last time this morning that our signals get mixed up. But it's good to be here this morning. Hi, I'm Dennis Balzer. This is my wife, Margie. We've been married for 55 years, and local kids. I went to Collinsville High School, and Margie lived in Vera for some time, went to a Bible Academy out in western Oklahoma, and she's going to share the story of how God called a couple of farmers from Tallala, Oklahoma, to go to Africa. And you have to be amazed at what God's thinking sometimes, but it's surprised us, but it's been such a great blessing. We're just glad to be here today and be able to share with you the work of Project Hope worldwide and how God has led us in that.
So I wanted to also introduce Mindy Russell. Okay. And if you can't hear me, let me know. Dennis has always told me I talk too quiet. So I want to introduce Mindy Russell, too. She's our missions director, director of missions at Project Hope Worldwide. But Project Hope Worldwide exists to receive, provide refuge, and restore hope to the world's most vulnerable children in Jesus' name. And that's our mission statement. We have projects in four countries. We have projects in Uganda, Mexico, Nicaragua, and South Asia. And we have five basic ways that we help the children. And you can see them on this poster, spiritual and character mentoring, education, health and medical care, safe and secure environment, and food, clothing, and shelter, or water. So all of those ways we help the children through Project Hope Worldwide. Our first introduction to Uganda was in 2008, and at our church we were looking for ways to reach out and teach people how to evangelize, and so a speaker came to our church and told us that we could go to Africa, we could go to Uganda and plant a church, and told us that we could do hut-to-hut ministry, evangelism, and also prison ministry and school ministry. So we started out in 2008. We had a team of 16, and I was part of that team. I was interested in prison ministry, and that's really how we got started going there. And it was a wonderful trip. We led many people to Christ on that trip, and it was so exciting to see. And while we were on that trip, God put in the heart of three of our team members the need for orphan care. We realized that Uganda has so many orphans because the rebel armies had come through and killed a lot of the parents. And also complications of HIV virus had caused a lot of fathers to die, too, and mothers. And so we saw the need of it. So in 2009, we went back again to plant another church, do the same thing, but also this was an exploratory trip. It was to see how we could take care of orphans, to find out more about that, and also to find land to build on so that we could house some of the orphans there. So actually, Project Hope Worldwide started in 2009. And then in 2010, Chal and Lari was started, and that's the facility, that's the compound where everything takes place, where all the orphans live, where all the children live. And we have, our original goal was to have 128 homes. We would have 16 homes with 8 children each in each home and one house mother to take care of them. So on our trip in 2009, our founders, our pastor, they looked and they found some land. But in 2010, then, when they built the homes, they built 3 homes to start with and hired 3 house mothers who were widows. And the reason for this is in James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So we built those 3 homes, and they also found a couple that was there, or just happened to be there, from Oregon, who were just perfect to be the directors. And they were looking for a place to serve orphans. And so it was just perfect. And then they also found an administrator who had been an orphan himself. And he doubled as administrator and pastor. His name is Amiku Dennis. And he's still there. He's the director of operations in Uganda now. So, so we want to have 8... 2 circles of 8 homes with a center house in the middle of each one for them to meet. And then we have 12 now. So in October of 2011, our pastor was preaching about the temptations of Jesus. And he said he came to the one where Jesus was tempted to bow down and worship Satan. And Satan said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Well, pastor said that if Jesus had done that, then everything would have been over. He wouldn't have had to suffer. He wouldn't have had to go to the cross. Everything would have been over. But he loved us so much that he wanted a relationship with us. And so he went to the cross, and he died for us on the cross. And he said, God may be calling you to do something that's out of your comfort zone. He may be calling you to do something you've never done before. And he said, if you feel a stirring in your heart, come talk to me after the service. Well, I felt that stirring immediately. I just knew God was wanting us to go. So I said, Lord, I feel that. I feel your call, but I don't want to say anything unless Dennis does, because I knew he would have to call us together. And we were just, at the end of the service, we were just starting to stand up. And Dennis said, did you feel a stirring? And I said, yes. And so that week, we decided we would go and talk with our pastor. But then Monday morning came, and I sat down to read my Bible, and I said, Lord, I just need a confirmation, because I felt like Dennis has asthma, and I didn't know what the medical facilities were like there. And so I just needed to know that God would take care of him while we were there. And so I came, and I was in Genesis 27 the day before. I read Genesis 28, and when I came to verse 15, it was God's promise to Jacob, but I felt like it was his promise to me, too. And I know it was his promise to me, and I have claimed that ever since. And he said, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And so I knew God was really calling us to go. And we went and talked with our pastor that week, and we started making plans to go. And we left in April of 2012, which was several months, but we had to raise quite a bit of support to go. And it worked out really well. And anyway, we went for 7 months and came home 1 month, and then we went back for 9 months. And that was how we got our feet wet in Uganda. And God's been faithful to us. We have loved it. And I'll let Dennis pick up from here and tell about what we've been doing since.
Well, part of our work in Uganda, as Margie said, when God called us to go, the reason that they needed someone to go was because the couple that was serving there from the U.S. were getting worn out and burnt out, needed encouragement, and so that was our primary job, just to walk alongside them, help them with the work wherever we could, and take some of the responsibility that they had as directors and to share that. And ever since then, we have been involved administratively. I am currently the director of the Uganda project, the U.S. director, and so I sit in the office quite a bit. For a country boy, that's hard to do, but they just appreciate having an extra point of view or a broader picture of what's going on. It helps them in making decisions, and particularly financially, I think that's the one area that they struggle with the most is being financially, being good stewards financially. So we focus on spending a lot of time in the office. Margie has worked in accounting for quite a bit of her life, and God, I think, prepared her for this time as well, as accounting is shaky in Uganda. They just don't realize how things need to be done, how they need to keep track of everything that is spent, everything that comes in, and then report it to the U.S. office. And so she has trained, I don't know how many accountants, none of them turned out to be the one we needed until we finally have Linda. And she is just a great joy. She is full of energy. She loves her job. She loves the Lord. And she has been there now for probably 3 or 4 years and doing very well in that job. And so Margie spends a lot of her time with the moms. When the kids are at school, the moms have some time to themselves, and Margie spends time just talking with them of how she can encourage them, some of the problems they're going through. They all have families that live away from the orphanage, and teaches character training. Her and Cammy taught children's church. We have a church on campus, and so I've been involved in teaching a lot of Sunday school, preached a few times, and just worked with our director. We do have some gardens that we grow produce on, and of course I like to find myself outside doing something like that. But we are always anxious to go to Uganda, looking forward to it. But it seems like when it's time to come home, we're always ready to come home. So today, do we want to do the videos now or later? Let's do them now. Kendra's back here. You can't even see her. She's our director of development for Project Hope, and very important and good at her job, and we really appreciate her. And Mindy, this was us in 2012, so we do look a little younger and probably a little starry-eyed as we thought about what we're doing. And this is the front gate of our project. You can't see the whole name of it, but it's Chalamalare, and in English it means Village of Redemption. And this is a team from the U.S. that came and spent a couple of weeks there. This is the homes that the children live, excuse me, that the children live in. There's a whole story behind the construction of those homes. We make all of our own brick. All of it's done by hand. There's no, it's pick and shovel, and mixing all the concrete is with the shovel, and everything is done by hand. And so we have a contractor. I don't know if you can see, there's a rainbow that run that when I took this picture. Their thunderstorms will rival Oklahoma's any day. They have a lot of rain. This was Easter Sunday. I think it was the only time I ever wore a tie. And the kids, and this is Palm Sunday. This was just a beautiful sight as they take these palm branches, and then they have flowers that grow the same time of year, and they put them on the palm branches and wave them in the church, and it was just a great, beautiful expression for Easter. These are our 12 moms. There might be 13 in there in this picture, because I think Amiku's wife is there. We put up an oven, wood-fired oven, just 2 years ago, I think it was. And Margie taught the moms how to make bread, and they were so excited. And the children were so excited, because bakery stuff there is not what it is in the U.S. Bread is kind of like, if you take it out of the wrapper, it's kind of like toast. It's just hard and dry. And so the kids love it. This is where Margie was teaching some of the girls how to make cinnamon rolls. And that oven is going to be a great asset in the years to come. There it is. This is the oven. We had built a shelter for it with a table that they can knead the dough and all that stuff. This is one of our team members playing with the kids. We do have a school on campus, and we have to transport a lot of our staff from town, which is about 5 miles away from the orphanage. So we have a school bus, and this is pretty typical of what you see out in the village. People still live in grass huts, no electricity, no running water. If you see the ladies on the right, they have jerry cans on their heads full of water that they've gone either to a pumping well a half mile away or go to the swamp and fetch water. This is a roadside market, and you can buy anything you want. I mean, there's plenty of vegetables and fruits of all kinds. Their meat is not particularly good, but you have to be careful where you buy it, because it's just hanging out in the open with flies around it and all that stuff. But this is the road we travel to get to our orphanage. And this is the means of transportation that most people find the most economical. Just pay a little bit, get on the back of a truck, and they'll take you somewhere. But you notice these holes in the road? When a truck hits one of those and it's top heavy with people, a lot of people get killed on the roads from accidents. And it's very hard for our vehicles, because the roads are so poor that it just tears the vehicles up. But it's life. This is a team member, actually it's our daughter, that came to Uganda. When the teams come, we do hut-to-hut evangelism with an interpreter. So the lady on the right in the white blouse is one of our moms, and she was interpreting for Evie as she shared the gospel with this family. And they're very interested in hearing the gospel. And then as you finish up about 10 days at Chalmalari, if you're in Africa, you got to go on a safari. And this is just, to me, it's just breathtaking to see these large animals out in the wild. This one was out in the wild, but he was right next to our hotel, pulling branches out of the tree and eating them. Very inquisitive. These are the most deadly animals in Uganda. More people are killed by hippos than any other animal, and they're very plenteous. This is our team at Murchison Falls. The Nile River comes together and goes through this little gorge that's about 30 foot wide, and makes a horrendous sound, but it is so beautiful. And so the team experienced, we take a boat ride up the Nile River, about a two-hour boat ride, and then we make it to the falls, and either you can hike up the trail or you can take the boat back, either one.
Video?
Sure. Let them listen to a little bit of it.
Oh, you want me to tell them the words?
No, well.
Because they can't hear them. Won't be able to hear them.
Oh, I thought she was going to do the Niagara Falls.
No, the video of the kids.
Our kids love to worship, and most of them have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are very serious when it comes to worship. And so we have a little video that you probably won't understand the words, but Margie will try to tell them to you, and just look at the expressions on these children's faces.
It's not, okay.
Yeah, that's the end of it there.
Okay. That's all right.
That's Kendra's kid.
That's okay.
Sorry, those are my
kids. They're cute. Jesus, I am here to serve you, Lord. Jesus, this is my life. I give to you. Jesus, take it. Take it all, my Redeemer. Jesus, take it all. And they repeat, Jesus, I am here to serve you, Lord. Jesus, this is my life I give to you. Okay.
So we have 97 children in our orphanage, and it's difficult for us to leave and leave our children and grandchildren, but we always feel like we're going to visit our other 97 grandchildren. So we have a school, goes all the way from kindergarten through the 12th grade, and the village can come to the school. The gates are open. They have to pay a school fee, but everyone's welcome to come to our schools as well as our church. So a lot of village people come to the church. We have a medical clinic, staffed with good personnel, and so all the medical needs of the children, most of them can be met through our clinic. There's a few that we have to take, like dentistry and that type of thing, to another doctor. What else do we have? We have some gardens, and one of them was installed, Field of Hope. And it's a drip garden. It's something new that most Ugandans had not seen. And so it was very educational for them, and that's what we want it to be, an educational tool for the children as they go back into the village, that they realize there's more to life than just picking up a hoe and digging and throwing some seeds and hoping it rains. We have a technical school with welding, carpentry, tailoring, computers, and hopefully the bread making class will take off one of these days. So this morning I just wanted to share a little bit with you, because when we walked into this church, we came earlier in the week and Grady and Margaret showed us just how we could set up and told us a little bit about the church, and we noticed the pictures on the wall. Very encouraging to see a church that is involved in missions, doing the Lord's work, and they told us about the prayer ministry here and just the answers to prayer, and so just want to commend you this morning for being a church that is doing God's work. And I'm doing a study in 1 Peter with my community group at church, and I've been reading through it, and this five little words popped out of 1 Peter chapter 2, the last part of verse 16. And it says, live as servants of God. What a privilege to go through life with that focus, to live as servants of God. And I began to think about, what does a servant live? What's his life like? And, you know, I think there's a difference between being a slave. Matter of fact, Peter talks a couple of verses down about slaves respecting your masters, even though they may be harsh and hard to work for. But a servant, and maybe I just get this from watching movies or TV or reading a book, a servant is someone who is prized. He lives to serve a family. Matter of fact, most families that have servants have living servant quarters where that person can just stay. And so that it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's a full life given to serving that family. The servant doesn't question. He doesn't argue when the master tells him things that need to be done or things that are he's planning to do. He just accepts those as a responsibility and does his best. And he's always appreciated. It seems like the servant is appreciated because of his service to this family. So that's kind of what we are as children of God. We are servants living full-time for him. This is not a come to church on Sunday and then go do what you want the rest of the week. It's not spending all my money the way I want to use it. It's helping missionaries and orphans. And I think one of the key verses of Project Hope, and Margie already read it, is that verse from James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and also to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I think that's the harder one. We live in a very materialistic world, consumer-driven. We can buy anything that we can think of and don't even have to go out our door. We just push the button on the computer and they deliver it to the front door and we've got what we want. And sometimes that pollution of the world begins to change our thinking and it changes how we prioritize our life. And here James is telling us that we need to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. And so staying focused as a servant of Jesus Christ and on the mission that he has given us to help orphans and widows. Peter also tells us in verse 11 that I urge you as aliens and strangers. So this is not our home. And we need to realize that, to live that way. Sure, it's nice to enjoy the things that God has blessed us with. But this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. If you remember that song, I think it continues on that our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And that's pretty much what missions are all about. It's gratifying to ourselves to see the changes in these children's lives. They all came in when they were so young, so destitute and so desperate for love and care. And now many of them are teenagers and the looks on their faces, the love that they can show to people. And if you ever get the opportunity to go on a mission trip and come to Chalmalari, you will be smothered in love. These children love it when they know that someone from America will take that time and spend that money to come and see them. It just thrills their hearts. So let me encourage you as a church, continue the good work. I'm so impressed with what you're doing. And I thank you for letting us come and introduce Project Hope to you today. One of the things that I really feel strongly about with Project Hope, that most organizations can't do this, but Project Hope gives you 100% guarantee. If you sponsor a child for $38 a month, that helps sponsor. It doesn't cover it all, but you can help sponsor at $38 a month. Project Hope will guarantee that $38 every month will go to that child that you're supporting. All of the U.S. administrative costs and overhead that we have here in the U.S. are covered by donors who said, we'll take care of business here in the U.S. You raise the funds and use those funds to help the children. So it's a great blessing and privilege to work with Project Hope. Margie and I have been blessed beyond measure the years that we've been able to spend, and we're planning to go back this year. Hopefully it will work out by fall. I think some trips are even planned for midsummer. So if you have questions, Kendra's going to be here with all kind of information. If the Lord is stirring your heart today, maybe he wants you to do something. But if you're already involved, you know, in your giving, at least come by or take those pictures off your chairs in front of you or beside you and pray for us. Because just when those you see that picture, those are real children. And there's some real needs and there's some real potential there for developing these children to serve God in such super ways that we need your prayer support as well. So thank you. Margie's gonna, she's finished. Mindy, do you have anything you want to tell the group before?
If I could invite them to come on a mission trip, I would love that.
Tell them when the next one is.
We, Uganda is one of, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'll do this too. Uganda is one of three projects that you can currently visit. I got back from Nicaragua last night at 11:30 p.m. So I am fresh off the plane. That was my first visit to our kids since the pandemic. But we have Uganda, which is it's incredible, and that is a massively you get what you put into it. You're investing a lot of money and a lot of time, but you are spending time with kids who show you exactly what God can do with just a little bit of money and people who want to serve him. Nicaragua is a little bit closer to home. You only go to Central America. It's about a six-hour plane ride. And you get to see volcanoes and see these kids that have been taken out of abject poverty and are being trained and developed as leaders in their country. And then Mexico is a 30-minute drive across the border, and it's only a three-day trip. So whatever your trip comfort level or experience or budget is, we can let you go and see God at work in these places. And I sat down with every single one of our kids in Nicaragua this week and told them on behalf of the organization and their sponsors, we think you are a good investment. We believe that God chose you for a reason, and we are going to continue to support you and invest you. And those sponsorship dollars, you would not believe. When we give just a little bit, let go of, for my family of five, one meal at Chick-fil-A, man, God can do incredible things. But trips are my passion and my joy. And if you are interested at all, you can take one of these. But also, if you want to ask nitty-gritty questions, I would be happy to have coffee with anybody that wanted to ask questions. But that is my love, and I would love to invite any of you that are interested to look into this with us. Thank you, Dennis.
Project Hope is a local organization. Our main office is just down 86th Street here in Owosso. It started at Discovery Church and transferred out of Discovery Church to an entity of its own. We have a few minutes if anybody has a question. Yes? Kendra will be here at the desk. There's pictures of children that need sponsored, and she can give you all the information you need. You can do it after service.
Do you have that picture of did they up here for that when they came in and the little boy afterwards, just the difference in his health?
The before and after picture, do we have one? I don't think we brought one today.
That struck me.
Yes. They come in ragged with, actually we had to buy some of them clothes because they didn't wear clothes, and pot bellies because of malnutrition, sad, no hope in the world, and now to see their smiley faces and healthy looks, it's something to see.
Something else, Margie, when we saw those huts, she said she was really impressed, and then she found out that there was a guy, and then it was his wife.
Polygamy is very strong in Uganda. It's just the way it is. We can preach against it and teach against it, and we have done several marriage seminars at the church in Uganda for the village, and it's interesting what they bring up. But that is a problem, because when the father gets HIV and then he has 45 children with three wives, a lot of them are affected.
Dennis, what generally happens when a polygamous husband dies and his wives are left with all those children? Do they try to remarry, or how do they provide for those kids?
You know, I'm not sure I could answer that. I'm not real positive how they handle that situation. I don't know that we've had any experience with it in our church there. We do have a pastor, full-time pastor. He also helps with administration and social work, got his degree in social work. And there's always needs for him to address. Angela?
Yeah, when I've been in the village, most of the time there are mothers there with the children, mm-hmm. and all they're trying to do is do something to feed their kids.
Yeah.
And maybe even sell something so that they can buy the little tablet that's in the school.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't been there in a while, but, you know, it is... It will change your life.
It is a life-changing trip. You know, if a mother or father, most of the women do a lot of the garden work, and they have very rich soil. They have three growing seasons in a year. It rains almost always, except for the latter part of December, January, and February. It's very hot and dry. But the women do a lot of the work in the gardens, and if you remember that roadside market that was on the film or slide, if they can make even 3,000 shillings a day, they feel like they've had a good day, and that's less than a dollar. A dollar is worth 3,500 shillings, and when we go, it's amazing how much money you have to carry around to have a little cash in your pocket. The banks, there's many banks there. They sell a lot of cement in bags. Construction is moving away from the huts and starting to construct brick homes, just one-room homes, and they make those bricks themselves. A lot of them make them out of mud. And the women do all the tromping in the mud pits and stirring it up for days, and then they put it in a little mold and dry it out in the sun. All of our buildings are, we have a hydraulic machine that they have to pour a bucket of sand, and then they pour just a little bit of water and a little bit of cement, and then it compresses that, and in about, I can't remember, less than 10 seconds, it produces a brick. So none of the buildings are cemented together. The bricks are not cemented together. They have a little protrusion on one end and an indention on the other, and they're about this wide. So they sit flat and lock together just like a Lego block. And so no cement is used. They have metal roofs, which seem to be lasting well. We're in the process, hopefully this year. We have a donor who wants to upgrade our internet. We have very poor internet there, which makes the work difficult, and it makes it hard for the kids to learn anything on computers. And so hopefully we'll get that upgraded this year. Things are going very well, and we praise God for that. It's His work, and we see Him at work every day. So I think that's all we have. Thank you again for inviting us to share Project Hope with you today. And
what does it cost for a mission trip to go there, and what's the time frame?
For Uganda?
Yes.
Around $3,500, depending on flight prices at the time, and you're there for 2 weeks, and that also includes 2 days at a safari resort, too. So you're getting about 10 days with the kids, 2 days to really see Africa, and then a couple of days of travel. Nicaragua is around $1,800, Mexico is around $500. So, and then varying lengths. Nicaragua is usually about a week, Mexico is 3 to 4 days.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor.
Anybody else? All right.
Thank you.
Don, did you want to sing, or do you think you'd rather not sing?
I'd